Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
If you have your Bibles with you today, I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. We'll get to that in 1 second. We want to share a little, kind of a shorter devotional word today, and then I want to pray a little bit. And last Sunday was absolutely wonderful. We talked about the power of the resurrection, that Jesus is Lord and Savior, that he's Savior and Lord. And what I want to do is I want to jump right into the Bible this morning, and I'm going to make a couple of comments. I want to jump right into an introductory passage. You know, we're going to pick up right on Easter Sunday evening. We're going to pick up at nighttime here. This is kind of a connecting from last week. And look at what happened here. This is in the book of John. It says this: on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Look up here. When you give your heart, and when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, and we say, "God, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior," God himself comes to live inside of our lives, inside of our hearts. But he comes by the Holy Spirit. God is made up of three persons, all equally one God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's called the Trinity. And Jesus, who's God the Son, was saying that to them, "Listen, now that I've risen from the grave, I want to tell you something. Receive the Holy Spirit." Other translations talk about how at that point in time, the disciples' eyes were open, because some of these guys had walked with the Lord for 3 years, and a lot of things they didn't understand. And then at that moment, Jesus breathed on the disciples, and they actually received the Spirit of God and came into their hearts. And that is the greatest gift. Aren't you thankful for the gift of salvation today of Jesus? Jesus Christ is the greatest gift. When he comes and our sins are forgiven, and he comes to live in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that is the greatest gift. And there's something about this idea of gifts. Have you ever had Christmas or a birthday or a special occasion, and you got presents or you got some sort of gifts, and you thought that they were all done, and then all of a sudden there's one more? Have you ever had that happen? Some of you said, "I don't get gifts." I'm sorry, okay? But, you know, we're all grown up now. But the fact is, maybe think about when you were younger. I remember one time when I was a young guy. We had Christmas and all the presents came, and every child who's taught to be thankful, I was very thankful, but there was that part where I was like, "Is that really it?" You know? And I was like, "Oh my," you know, I was like, "Thanks, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, Aunt, oh, thank you. And everyone's kind of, the room starts clearing and the excitement is kind of dying down, and everyone starts to go get some coffee or whatever. And then my brother all of a sudden says, "Oh, we've got one more gift." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm sure it's not for me," you know. And they bring it out, and they said, "Man, this is for you." And I was genuinely blown away, because I thought Christmas was over. All the gifts had been given. And they roll this thing out, and it was a decent size. And I rip it open, and I was just blown away. You know what it was? It was my first stereo, but it wasn't just any stereo. It had the CD and cassette with it. Okay, you remember that? CD and cassette. So I could play some of the old guys with the new guys. And for some of you younger people, you don't know what a cassette is, Google it. You'll figure it out. Okay. And so it was like amazing, and it actually had the alarm clock on it so you can wake up to music and annoy everybody in the house. It was fantastic. And so it was like this second gift. Well, I want to walk into a passage here that the disciples thought they'd received everything that Jesus had for them, because he came back from the grave. Isn't that the greatest gift? Yes, it is. But then Jesus is kind of setting them up. to talk to them about there's another gift. He came from the grave and the Holy Spirit came and was breathed into their hearts and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So now, not only is Jesus come alive, but God is living in their hearts. Aren't you thankful that Jesus comes to live inside of our hearts? Isn't that amazing? It really is. And let me say that one more time. Aren't you thankful that God actually comes to live inside of our hearts? Amen? It's really... You know, for us, the 2,000 years after the cross, it's really, well, we were used to hearing that. But you have to remember, for thousands of years in biblical history, God did not live inside of people. He would come upon them, but until the cross, a holy God could not come and live inside the heart of man because we were sinful, and we still are. But the blood of Jesus, when we receive it, when we receive God's work, the blood covers us and cleanses us, and then God, who's holy, 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 can come and live inside us as broken people. It's one of the most amazing miracles and mysteries. So now, let's pick up our story here in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says this. It says, on one occasion, this is after the resurrection, after they had received the Holy Spirit, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Everybody look up here. The disciples just kind of totally missed one of these major moments. Jesus is saying, hey, there is a gift that the Father wants to give you, and it's going to happen very soon. And they're worried about what was on their heart and what was on their mind, and they kind of miss the whole thing. And they come and say, Jesus, okay, that's cool, but, hey, when are we going to be delivered from this political power, Rome, that's over us? Hey, Jesus, when are you going to come and actually set up your throne on earth? And when are you going to finally restore all these things? And brothers and sisters, we have to be very careful that our felt needs do not supersede God's agenda. Our felt needs can supersede God's agenda sometimes in our hearts. We can come to God and say, God, here's my list of what everything that I have. And the Lord can sit there and say, that's fine, but I have my list too. There's a priority that I have. There are things that I have on my heart that I want to give to you. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can miss a promise from God because we're absorbed with ourselves. Sometimes we can miss a major breakthrough promise from God in our lives because we can't see 3 feet beyond our felt need. Now, does God want us to bring our needs to him? Yes, 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 absolutely. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He stands with open arms. We come to him in our time of need and we bring our needs to him, but we don't bring our needs to him at the expense of missing what he wants for us. And that's what the disciples just did. He says, hey, there's a gift that my Father wants to give you, and it's going to come very soon. And then they start asking him what they wanted, which was they wanted to be delivered from Rome, and they didn't want to have the political power over them anymore, and they had all their needs. And Jesus said, no, you don't get in. Here's his response. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. Everyone say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. By the way, verse 8, it says when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Notice it doesn't say come in you because the Holy Spirit is already in them. Okay. So Jesus is making a distinction. John chapter 20, he breathes on them, says receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, he says, hey, there's something else that you need. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you. There's a power that is going to come on you. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The title of the message today is The Gift After the Grave. The gift that God has after the grave. I'm thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that he has saved us and he's living in our heart. But Jesus was telling him, there's another gift that I have for you. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you today. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you here into this sacred assembly today. We are your people, and we set our hearts and our minds to receive from the Word of God today. And God, I pray that you would breathe upon your Word. And Lord, that you would speak to every mind and to every heart. Lord, we want to hear what's on your mind and on your heart today. God, I pray that every heart and mind would be able to be still and silent in the presence of the Lord. God, deliver us from any distractions, from thinking about what may come next. May we see and hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say to the Chicago Tabernacle today through your word. Help your servant communicate what's on your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. The gift after the grave is the title of the message today. You see, Jesus was telling his followers, there is something more that I have, and it's called power. The power of the Holy Spirit I want to put upon you. Brothers and sisters, the Christian faith, when it was established over 2,000 years ago, it was not established as a political movement. The Christian faith was not established as a sanctified social club. The Christian movement was not established as another just religion so people can do actions and go through life. It wasn't just established so mankind could have a sense of comfort in some greater being in God. No, Jesus Christ died on the cross and he shed his blood and he rose from the grave so that he could then come to live inside of us and use us for his glory. Here's the thing. Have you ever asked yourself, when you gave your heart to Jesus, how come you didn't go straight to heaven? Why when we give our hearts to the Lord, don't we just get an express trip right up to heaven? It's because God still has work for us to do. If you believe that, say amen. He does. He does. Because all of a sudden we're God's children. Doesn't every father want to be with their children? Yes. The Heavenly Father wants to be with us. And one day soon we will be with him, my friends. But until then, he says, listen, I got to go, but I'm leaving the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom of God, we have to recognize this. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Can we say power? We live in a day and age where technology, engineering, education, man's genius and creating comfort, all sorts of different modes and methods of living our life and the machinery of life and of the times we live in, we can really get on in America in 2016 without power from God. But Christianity was never meant to be a walk of faith without power. On the contrary, it was founded on the principle that the followers of Jesus would experience and walk in a demonstration of the power of God. That is how Jesus formed the church. God established the church in the book of Acts so that the church could demonstrate the very power of God. Our lives are meant as Christians to be able to demonstrate the incredible supernatural power of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. So the question becomes, why is it so difficult to see the power of God? What is it that there's a disconnect when one of them is unbelief? Sometimes unbelief has crept into the church in America. Unbelief has can creep in, and this idea that if I can't touch it, if I can't feel it, if I can't control it, then that must mean that I don't need it. But on the contrary, it is very difficult in the 21st century to be a born-again believer and not walk in the power of Jesus Christ. The darkness is getting darker. The days are getting eviler. The devil doesn't care about our spiritual pedigree. He doesn't care about our education level. He doesn't care about our accomplishments. When he looks at us, he looks at the blood of Jesus, and are they empowered by the Holy Spirit? Because you could be a Christian and not make an impact because our own natural ability can't really change anything. It takes the power of God to see real change. These hundreds and hundreds of souls that have given their heart to the Lord over the last couple of weeks has been because of the power of God has reached their heart. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Everyone say power. That is what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. Now listen. Some of you may have been around things like this before, and you might say, well, there's too much fanaticism, and people are kind of, you know, they act weird and they act crazy. That's not what I'm talking about. The disciples were ordinary, unschooled men. They were normal Joes like you and me who were filled with the power of God, and they literally turned the world upside down. Normal people. God came upon them. Yes, he came in them, but he came on them with his power. And everything began to change. And so I want to pray at the end of the meeting here, I want to lay something out, and then we're going to pray together, because here's what I want to pray for, that you would believe this and that you and I would see this manifested in our life, that Jesus promises the gift of power through the Holy Spirit for all believers. Let me say that again, that Jesus promises the gift of power through the Holy Spirit for all believers. You don't have to do it in your own strength. And if you don't hear anything today, hear the good news is that there is power available for you and for me every day by God Himself. When we leave here in a little bit and we have to go on through our life, Christianity was not just meant to be, let me get filled up on a Sunday and kind of coast on through until I get back here on the next Sunday or the next Tuesday. That is not the way God designed it. Yes, we gather together, very important. But God designed it that we could actually walk in our own lives under the power of God, not just Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. And so I want to look and say, okay, what does it look like in our lives? So the first thing is that the Holy Spirit gives us power in our private life. This is what's wonderful. We'll talk about the public life in a minute. But the Holy Spirit actually gives us power in our private life when nobody else is looking. He gives us what we need every single day. And there's going to be just three simple things that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. The first thing is He empowers us to read the Bible. He empowers us to read the Bible. If I could tell you, when through all of the counseling and all the different things, when Christians come up against major challenges, you know the first question that we as pastors and leaders ask? Are you reading your Bible? Well, you know, I read it about 7 days, 6 days ago. I got the daily bread on my way to work, you know. Or I listened to it on the thing when I was working out at the gym. And we say, okay, time out. Let answer. Are you reading your Bible? This is not any way to be condemning, but this is the fact that God has given us His Word as the supernatural agent to bring transformation on a daily basis. Being a strong follower of Jesus starts with the daily reading of the Word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but must live by every word that comes from God's mouth. If I could tell you that if we could get followers of Jesus to get to that point, they might say, no, no, there must be something else. There is nothing else. If we read our Bible and if we pray and if we spend time with God, I'm telling you right now, 80% of the things in our life, you will start to see amazing transformation. Amazing transformation. Now you might say, well, what about the other 20%? Well, there's always the stuff that God reserves for a miracle, okay? All right. But the majority of our life, God says, I just want you to spend time with me every day. Read the Bible. Open the Bible to the New Testament and begin to take in the Word of God. So if you believe that, say amen. Okay, so now, but the challenge becomes sometimes when we're reading the Word of God, as Pastor Toledo said at one time, sometimes it feels like reading a phone book. Sometimes you look at it, I just read that verse like 7 times. I'm not getting it. Okay, I know I'm supposed to read my Bible, but it's hard and I don't like to read or it feels dry and I'm going to keep reading it, but something is, it's just really difficult and I find a hard, it's just really challenging. But here's what I want to encourage us with today is that the Holy Spirit really empowers us to read the Word of God. Look at this in John chapter 14. It says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. So this, what Jesus is saying is that the Holy Spirit will help us through the Word of God. You know, it's one of the most wonderful things when you read something in the morning and then at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're in a situation and all of a sudden the very thing, the very word that you read kind of comes back to you and helps you in the moment. Showing your hands, how many of you have ever had that happen before? Amen. Well, do you know what that is? That's not your powers of intellect. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? That's God saying, hey, remember, this is what I was talking about. This is why you read this verse. And He breathes upon it and He empowers us through His Word. You might be here today and you say, man, I know I'm supposed to read the Word of God, but it's so difficult. I want to pray and I want you to believe that the Holy Spirit can empower your Bible reading. He can breathe upon your heart. He can give you the grace that you need to take in the Word of God. There's many, we're having a challenge today and a lot of folks, it's even hard to read. Because of technology and because of the inundation of all of media, reading is becoming more and more difficult. And I believe that some of it is a cultural attack even on Christians, because it is important for Christians to be able to take in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit can help you. You might say, I'm not very good at reading. The Holy Spirit can help you. The Holy Spirit can help you. He's able to give you the grace that you need to read the Word of God. The second thing that the Holy Spirit helps us to do is to pray. This is so important. Because once again, remember this, the Christian faith should not be lived by obligation. If you spend the majority of your Christian life doing things because you know you're supposed to do them, you'll eventually get incredibly discouraged. The Bible says that the love of God compels us. The love of God moves us. There's a motivation that God gives. You heard that sister on the testimony. She said, my life is just so full of the joy of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is supposed to motivate us. So when it comes to prayer, some Christians can get so discouraged. You can feel condemned. Don't feel condemned. I plead with you. If you hear about prayer, don't feel condemned. I've had people say, I don't come to the prayer meeting because I don't feel like I know how to pray. And you know what I say? You got it backwards. You need to come to the prayer meeting to learn how to pray. That's why we have the prayer meeting, so you can learn how to be around the brothers and sisters and pray and call upon the Lord. Listen, no one's arrived. Nobody's arrived. And so, but here's what's great. The Holy Spirit empowers us to pray. Look at Romans 8:26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Look up here. So what this is saying is that the Holy Spirit will enable us to pray. And then there's something ticking back here. Sorry, pause for a second. I got to turn this down. I'm a musician at heart, and so sometimes I hear stuff and it just distracts me. You're going to see, I'm going to start preaching about Nehemiah. You're never going to know what's going on. Okay. So here's the thing. Sometimes we get a burden, we're supposed to pray for something, but we don't even know where to start. In your marriage, you might say, I know my marriage needs prayer, but I don't even know where to start. I got 25 years of a mess. What did I just say? God bless the mess, you know? It's like, you know, where do you start, you know? And you might have a family or friend, and they're so twisted up, and you're like, I don't even, God help. And you don't, and God answers, God hears those prayers, but there's a deeper level. See, the Holy Spirit can pray through you the very words that God wants you to pray. Put that verse up, please, real quickly. Look at this. Get this in your heart. This is what's amazing. It says that we don't know what we're supposed to pray for. By the way, this is the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians in history. Didn't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through us. And then it's saying God searches the hearts, and he knows the mind of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit will pray through us even though we don't know what to pray. I'll tell you a quick story. I had a personal experience with this. I was a teenager, about 17 years old, and I grew up in a faith tradition that didn't talk much about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would kind of get an honorable mention every once in a while, but there was not a real understanding of the fact that the power of God could be manifested. And by the way, you know what that led to? That led to a lot of the friends that I grew up with, not because they didn't understand that the Holy Spirit would help them live every day, they ended up just trying in their own strength, and a lot of them left the faith. Because legalism sets in. Legalism is, I got to do this, and if I can't do it, then I quit and get discouraged. And we recognize we can't do it, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, I had some of my friends, they started saying, man, the power of God came upon me, and they started saying things like, the Holy Spirit filled me, and man, you gotta know God wants to fill you with this power. It's like, what are you talking about? But I would get around some of these people, and I would say, there's something different about this person. We serve the same God, but why is it that there's something different about it? And so I began to pray. I began to say, Lord, I said, Holy Spirit, I wasn't used to praying to the Holy Spirit, but I did. I said, Holy Spirit, would you fill me with your power? And guess what happened? Nothing. Okay. But I kept reading the Bible. I was like, well, if it's in the Bible, I want it in my life. And so I continued to pray, Holy Spirit, I need your power. Would you show me? Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Holy Spirit, would you baptize me? Holy Spirit, would you empower me? I began to pray this. 4-5 months went by. Praying. I love God. I was serving God. I was in ministry at a church. I was in a youth group doing all this stuff. Help me, Lord. One day I was in my bedroom. I was on my knees and I was praying. And when I was on my knees and I remember as if it was yesterday, a great burden came over my heart. And I knew I had to pray for something. And it was deep in my spirit, deep in my, I don't know how to explain, it was just deep, you know. And I started to get these images in my mind of different nations and of different situations. My mind started being flooded with pictures and I had this deep burden and I didn't know what to do. So I was just sitting there. By the way, forgive the personal reference. I'm telling you this so you can understand. And I started to kind of groan a little bit and I didn't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden, something burst out of my heart, out of the inner part of my being, and I started to pray in another language. Now, I got so freaked out about it that I took my hand and I went like this, and I just went, ooh. And I kind of panicked because I didn't know what was going on. And the Bible calls it, I quenched the spirit, because I didn't realize the very thing I was praying for was the thing God was giving me. I didn't know. I wasn't in any meetings or churches where I saw this demo. I didn't know. And so then I began to go on a search of the scriptures. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what that was, but I'm going to find out if what was going on. And then I came across that Romans chapter 8, realizing that the Holy Spirit was praying through me. The fact that I was thinking of countries and different situations, there were images the Holy Spirit was putting in my mind, and I began to pray through me. And then faith and biblical knowledge met my experience, and then I was able to receive what God had. And it propelled into a whole different part of my life. Brothers and sisters, there's always more that God has for us. He's got fresh power. Maybe you experienced the power of God many years ago. The power of God is not just for public things. We'll talk about that in a second. But the power of the Holy Spirit is for our private lives with God. The Holy Spirit knows the heart of the Father. And he connects us to him. And it's so important and so wonderful. The third thing here is that the Holy Spirit helps us to worship. The Holy Spirit helps us to worship. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Holy Spirit also helps us to sing. And some of you be like, good, praise God, I got a horrible voice, you know. It's more than that. There's a spiritual part of worship. Worship should never be perfunctory action again. It should never be obligatory. It should never be just rote singing of creed and songs and hymns and choruses. That's not what worship is supposed to be. Worship is supposed to be from the Spirit, from the heart. And the Holy Spirit will breathe and empower us to even worship God. There's a sister here in the church. Her name's Karen. She's actually serving with our children today. She's teaching our children on the Word of God. And she told me a story this morning. She said, "Pastor Matt, let me tell you this." She said, I grew up in church, and I had a real problem with reading. I didn't like reading, and I knew I was supposed to read my Bible, and it was just dry, and I would have moments with God, but I just felt like I was constantly in the mud, like walking through quicksand. And she said, "I was in college at the University of Wisconsin, and we had a Bible study, and I heard people talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, but I hadn't walked in that, and I knew God was in me, but there was something greater. There was a power that God would pour upon my life, and I didn't know." So I began to pray and say, "God, I need this." She said, "My worship was just totally dry. I didn't even like to really worship. I just did it because I knew I was supposed to worship." And so she said, "We were in a small group, and I had been praying for 6 months," she said. She'd been praying for 6 months for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon her. By the way, can I pause for a second and let us all know that we don't serve a fast food God? There are moments that God will do things instantaneously, and we praise God when that happens. Many people have actually gotten discouraged with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because they say, well, I prayed and nothing happened. The disciples the ones who walked with God had to wait for weeks before the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. How much more us? And it's a whole different sermon, but we need to be patient with the Lord and not give up on the promise that he has for us. The gift that the Lord died for, he wants to give it to us. By the way, sometimes I feel that the Holy Spirit delays his outpouring is because some people will use it for selfish means. And the Holy Spirit knows the motivations of the heart. Maybe you've been praying for the power of God and you haven't experienced the power of God. It doesn't make you a second-class citizen, but say, God, show me in my heart. Make me ready to receive, Lord. Do what you have to do in me. Do what you have to do in me. The old-time revivalists used to say that there's always a deep, deep dying to self to experience the mighty power of God. So anyway, back to Karen's story. Karen was saying how she'd been praying for 6 months and saying, I don't know, I'm not experiencing the power of God, but I know I need it. My Bible reading's stale. I don't know, I don't like to read and all this. And she said she was in a small group Bible study, about 20 people. All of a sudden, a woman of God was there, the leader. And the Spirit of God came upon this woman, and she stood up and she looked right at Karen, and she began to speak the word of God to her. She began to exercise one of the spiritual gifts, which is called a word of knowledge, and the Holy Spirit gave her things to say very, very specifically about Karen's life. And she began to minister to her. And in that moment, after months and months of waiting, the Holy Spirit came upon Karen. And she said, it was uncharacteristic of me. I stood up in the middle, and all of a sudden, I just began to sing and to praise God. And I didn't even like to sing. She said, God came upon me. She began to walk around the circle and began to declare the things of God over every single person's life. This woman who didn't know anything, and she said everything changed from that moment. The power of God came upon me. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. She said, the power of God came upon me, and all of a sudden my Bible reading was energized with something that I never experienced before. Now all of a sudden, I began to worship God and sing to God. She said, my whole life changed. Now her and her husband are preparing to go to the mission field to one of the darkest Islamic countries in the world. One who doesn't even like to read the Bible before, didn't feel the grace to do it. Now God is using in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. Lastly, the Holy Spirit gives us power in our public life, and this is where we're going to close. The Holy Spirit gives us power in our public life. So not only does he do it privately, brothers and sisters, and we need to believe for the power of God to come upon us so we can read the word, so we can pray, so we can worship, but God has public assignments for every single one of us here, those who are followers of Jesus Christ. He has public assignments for you and your family members. He has public assignments for you and those in your workplace. You're going to go out of here in a little bit, and we have to go to dark places. We can't run and hide. We have to go to these areas of the world that God is saying, I've placed you there for a strategic purpose. But can I encourage you today? Don't try to give them yourself. Give them God. How does that happen? It comes by the power of the Spirit of God coming upon your life. You don't have to try on your own strength. But I believe that there are marriages that are on the precipice of being restored, and it just takes one woman of God or one man of God saying, God, fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit to love this person. I believe that there are schools, there are businesses, there are places of employment that are ready to be radically changed by God himself, but it takes a vessel that says, God, would your power come upon me so that I can make the impact that you want me to make? I believe there are entire city blocks in the city of Chicago that are standing by to be transformed by the power of God. It just takes a life that says, God, here I am, use me, Lord, with your power and with your might. Brothers and sisters, God is on the move, and he's ready to fill us and empower us. Let me share this incredible, encouraging story. A couple weeks ago, God, the Holy Spirit is drawing people, is what I'm saying. The reason I'm going to tell you the story, the Spirit of God is drawing people all by himself. We had a memorial service here a Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, and the church was shutting down. Everybody else was almost gone, and a young man just kind of came in off the street. He came in off the street. He looked real discouraged, and he said, hey, he asked one of the pastors, he said, hey, can I pray? We said, sure. He said, okay. He came in here. He sat right back there in the right-hand corner. And as he was there, he began to he kind of put his head down. One of our pastors, Pastor Jake, went over to him and said, "Hey, is everything all right?" And the young man looked up and tears were just streaming down his face. And he said, "You know, I don't even live in this neighborhood. I came here to visit my some of my family members, and I just felt such a need for God." He said, "I went out on the street and I began to walk and my life began to roll out in front of me and I began to tell myself, I just need God, I need God. And I ended up walking by your church, and he came in the doors and he was a broken-hearted young man who was looking for God. And Pastor Jake was able to tell him about the amazing love of Jesus, and that young man gave his heart to the Lord." Let's praise God for what his mighty power is accomplishing. Hallelujah. Everyone stand to your feet. Everyone just stand to your feet for a moment. Just close your eyes in the presence of the Lord. Everyone just close your eyes. No one moving. We'll be dismissed just in a moment. If you're here and you would say that you need to experience a fresh outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life, I just want you to raise your hand in the presence of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are going up all over. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We don't have a lot of time, but if you lifted your hand, I want to encourage you, slip out of your seat right now, come down to this altar, all eyes closed. If you raised your hand, come on quickly, we don't have a lot of time, move quickly. Thank you, God. Thank you for the gift of the Father. Thank you for the gift of the Father. We need you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of the Father. Thank you for power from the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you don't leave us to ourselves. Thank you for power to live and to love. Thank you for power to be your witnesses, Lord. Take the hand of the person next to you all over this church. Take the hand of the person next to you. And I want you to begin to pray for your neighbor. Begin to pray, God, would you fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit? You don't need to know what they're going through, but begin to pray for them. Say, God, fill them with power from on high. Power from on high. Power from on high. The promise of the Lord. Pray that they would believe. Pray that they would believe that the promise of the Father is for them. Power from on high today. Power from on high. We thank you today. We thank you today. God, we thank you for the promise, Lord, that there is a gift after the grave. We thank you for coming to this earth and dying for our sins. But Lord, we also know that you promised us power from on high. And today, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come over our brothers and our sisters. Lord, we can't do it without you. And we thank you that you're not leaving us to ourselves. Lord, we ask that we would be endued with power from on high. power to read the Word of God, power to seek you and to worship you, Lord, power to represent you on this earth in these dark areas, Lord. Lord, may our hearts be filled with faith that you truly will use us for your glory and that you will fill our hearts with your supernatural grace and power. We love you today and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Let's put our hands together and praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Look up here real quickly. We're going to go in 1 second here. Here's what's important to remember. The Holy Spirit may have met some of you right now and endued you with power from on high. But there's some of you that they may not have happened. Remember, believing God for power is a process. Let him empty you of yourself. Go home. Take the days and weeks and months ahead. Study Acts chapter 1 and 2. Study and say, God, what you did there, do in my life. Pray, God, empty me of myself. Do what you have to do so that I can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't rush the Lord. Remember, God has under his own authority and time when you and I will be endued with power. Maybe you experienced the power of God in your life years ago. There is always new seasons of the power of God. Sometimes the new seasons, God is asking to do a new and a deeper work in your heart and my life. This is not the end. This is the beginning of a journey of saying, God, we're believing in the gift of the Father for power from on high. So, Father, we thank you today. And as we go from this place, our hearts are filled with faith and expectation that you are going to do amazing things in us and through us, Lord. We don't look to ourselves, but we look to heaven. And we thank you for the promise of the Father. May this be a supernatural week. May this be a week that Bible reading is rejuvenated by the Holy Spirit. May our prayers be energized by the Holy Spirit. May our worship be filled with songs from the Spirit. And may our lives be demonstrated, be lives that demonstrate the power of God. We love you and thank you. Bless us now as we go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's praise him one more time today. Hallelujah. God bless you. Greet a couple people on your way out. God bless you.